Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirits. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and the head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list. Please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Food for Thought. I'd love to have you join our circle of support. This morning, I am excited to introduce you to my guest, Dr. Bernard Beitman. He is the first psychiatrist since Carl Jung to systemize the study of coincidences. A graduate of Yale Medical School, he did his psychiatric residency at Stanford University in California and is the former chair of the University of Missouri Columbia Medical School, writing a blog for Psychology Today on coincidence. The book we're going to share today, which I'm excited about, is called Meaningful Coincidences. And it is a joy to share what A. Natasha Jakovsky says about it. And I think this will key in the group of listeners that I have. And this book is a transdisciplinary look into the nature of connection itself. In tracing the mechanisms and mysteries of coincidence, and charting the paradoxical nature of its exploration, for to discover the reason behind a coincidence is to render it no longer one. Dr. Beitman delightfully reveals that there is room for data in awe, but also room for awe in data, end quote. Welcome, Dr. Beitman. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Vicki. Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be with you. I'm interested and excited to see what happens with us.
So we'll jump right in. What is a meaningful coincidence?
A meaningful coincidence is the coming together of two events, sometimes more than two, that have no direct causal connection. You don't know how they got together, but they happen. And then you look at them and you feel something's there. You may have an emotional reaction to it. You may feel something intuitive is ringing in your mind and your heart, and that brings it meaning. So these meaningful coincidences are coming together of two events unexpectedly that have some kind of meaning to the person experiencing them.
Very cool. So it might be like calling my husband on our son's birthday. Our son passed many years ago, and he says, "You're not going to believe what just happened," you know, and this picture of our son and my husband roping together fell off the bookshelf while he was standing there talking to me on the telephone. And
those are great ones. Sometimes people get light flickering things happening when somebody dies, for example. And the book falling off the shelf at a time like that is the first time I've heard that one. I hear people going into bookstores not knowing what they're going to purchase, and a book hits them in the foot. It falls off and knocks them in the head sometimes. Another person said the book seemed illuminating to her when she looked around on the bookshelves. So I haven't heard of one like this before, so thanks for that.
Well, this was actually a photograph of my husband and son roping together.
Oh.
So it was a framed picture And Danny says, I didn't bump the shelf. I didn't do anything. I'm just standing here. And the frame didn't break. The glass didn't break. But the joy for me is that it has connected my husband with an aspect of our unseen world that he never connected with before.
That's and the so, idea of a lot of these. So there's yeah. something else going on is what you have to think when something like that happens.
Yes, yes. Well,
and what,
I know
what did your husband end up thinking is the unseen world?
Well, I think he realizes that there are connections beyond the physical world. He's had small things happen that he now attributes to the energy of our son being present still around him. He went to the store to buy a bottle of whiskey. He had friends coming, and there, none of his regular kind was available except this humongous bottle in a locked case, and the clerk takes it out for him. He says, well, whatever. And he goes to check it out, and the clerk says, if you don't want the buckle on it, I'll take it. He hadn't even seen the buckle on it. And here was this Western belt buckle that was a, and I won't get the name of the whiskey right because I don't remember, whatever kind it was, Pendleton, I think. Think cowboy, think Pendleton. It was a commemorative belt buckle for however many anniversaries of the National Finals Rodeo, which occurs around our son's birthday, on this bottle. My husband hadn't even seen it, and it's so special to him, he's set it on a special place on a shelf because he couldn't believe that happened. It's like somebody says, you're not going to believe what happened.
Well, I'm in the business now, of, and so are you, of helping people believe things like these happen. They happen. We do get communications from people who seem to be departed but are still hanging around in some form or another. It took me a long time to come around to believing that, but there are too many stories like the ones you're just telling me that people experience of someone having a connection with them. And the idea that we also each have angels that are helping us along, which may include some dearly departed people who are also helping us. There's more going on around us in what I call the psychosphere, our mental atmosphere, than modern science is able to explain. And stories like that about your son can't be just coincidences in the usual meaning, in usual sense. They're meaningful coincidences. They mean your son is still around in some form or another.
Yes, and I think as a scientist, we all, my background's in biology, can agree that, you know, energy is neither created nor destroyed. So if we in this physical manifestation of a human body are energy, then it isn't destroyed when the physical beingness of us passes.
It's transformed.
So,
it's transformed
exactly.
into some other kind of energy, because we're more material when we're here. There's a relationship between matter and energy. E equals mc squared is Einstein's famous equation, where energy equals mass times the square of light, the speed of light multiplied by 2, 186,000 times 2. So energy and matter are related to each other, and they are conserved. And it has to be the case that the body becomes something more than just the body leaves, but the energy continues.
Yes, yes. Well, I really enjoyed your book. It was not easy for me to read because I don't slow down enough to really get into books that are as deeply written as yours is. But I got the book on tape, the audio book, for my drive to Arizona, and it was filled with little moments that I went, oh, that's what, aha, I've been there, done that one. And so I wonder if you'd take just a minute to talk to us about what you call the four types of coincidence, that synchronicity, serendipity, seriality, and simulpacity, if I pronounced that one right.
You did. Not everybody does. But I use the word meaningful coincidence because we have these other terms that are our fun. Synchronicity is a favorite term for a lot of people. Serendipity is also a favorite term for some people. And they're not the same. They overlap with each other, but they are both meaningful coincidences, meaning that something in your mind matches with something in your environment, usually. So there's a mind and an object that somehow correlate with each other. With synchronicity, it tends to be more interpersonal, and psychological, and spiritual, while with serendipity, it's more about things like finding money that you need or even a person who helps you get to something that you need to be able to get to, or ideas. Many of the advances in science, particularly in pharmacology, have been serendipity involved. A happy accident happens. Somebody just happens to stumble across something in an out of the way, and there it is. We discovered penicillin that way by an accident. But you need to be able to be aware of the possibility of a connection between what you're looking for and what you see. So there's a mind and an object that holds both serendipity and synchronicity together. A common synchronicity is thinking of someone and they call you or contact you sometimes. But I prefer to call that telepathy. And we are learning that we can communicate with each other telepathically, but we're told we can't, so we don't believe it. So synchronicity helps cover the idea of telepathy and clairvoyance and also being able to see the future, as well as helping find the lost loved one that you knew was out there, somebody that you really needed to find and you knew was there, and some kind of chance meeting brings you together on an airplane at a dance, running into each other in some faraway place and somehow getting to start talking. And those are synchronicities, interpersonal. Serendipities tend to be more about things, money, ideas. Seriality doesn't get a lot of attention, but the most common seriality is seeing the number 1111 over and over again. So seriality involves things that are objective, that anyone could see. It's not just something in your mind. It's something that's in the external world. And numbers are very big for many different people. They have favorite numbers. And what do the numbers mean is highly variable from person to person, but they often mean I'm on the right path. That seriality and other coincidences tell us, I think I'm in the right way. I'm doing the right thing for myself. And simulpathity is a term I made up because and there wasn't a word for it now, currently. Simulpathity is the experiencing of the pain of a loved one at a distance. For example, mothers often feel when their child is injured. Identical twins have stories of one getting a black eye on the playground and miles away the other one has a black eye, but nobody hit the second one. Or you feel the pain of a loved one at a distance. That used to be called telepathy. Telepathy, tele, means at a distance, as in telephone. And pathy, meaning feeling, as in simulpathy of feeling. So the original definition of telepathy from the late 1880s or so was feeling the pain of someone, usually who you're connected with emotionally, at a distance. But it became more cognitive. So you now use the word simulpathy for that.
Well, that's really interesting, and some of the things that you bring up, like numbers, and even the simulpathy. We lost a dear friend and teacher last summer, and in those last couple of days in the hospital, one of our friends staying with me kept getting called in the middle of the night or the middle of the afternoon. This feeling she needed to go sit with our friend. And it was really a strong pull for her, and when we talk about numbers, and I don't know if this would be in seriality, but the number 44 was very special to her. She wrote about a group of women, the Sisterhood of the Shield, that there were 44 members of. And so for a lot of us who studied with Lynn, that number 44 became special. And Lynn passed at 4:44 p.m. in the afternoon. And I know for myself personally, and several others have shared with me, that 4:44 comes up on the phone a lot. I started taking pictures of it. It was happening. A screenshot. For no reason, you pick up the phone and it says 4:44, or I wake up in the middle of the night with a Mother Nature call, and on the way back glance at the clock and it says 4:44. And is that the type of thing you're talking about?
That is seriality in action, right there. It's seeing the same thing over and over again. So there are. A friend of mine sees lots of images of monkeys, and she's recorded maybe 1,000 or more over the years of seeing monkeys on front pictures in pictures on front of books and cartoons, and just people walking around with monkey things on their shirts. Monkeys have been her serialities, which a lot of people don't have that one. More people have the number one you're talking about. And I people ask me, what does it mean to have like 444? Sometimes I think it's almost like a football number. I played football, and number 23 was my number in college, and the number 23 followed me around. And what it gave me a sense of was that I was part of a process, that maybe I wasn't just by myself, that the 23 was saying, we're with you. And maybe that's what the 44 means to you and to some of your friends.
Very, very much so. And I am one who has, since I stepped onto a spiritual path, been connected to feathers. They find me, or I find them, in the most unexpected places. And as I begin to pay more attention to my physical world, be more aware of my surroundings, I begin to see hawks. And for me, that is my guidepost. Oh, I'm on the right road. No, I didn't make a wrong turn. There's a hawk sitting there saying you came the right way. And the hawk feathers became very significant after my son passed, that I'd go somewhere and out of the blue there'd be a hawk feather laying there. So for me, is that serendipity or synchronicity?
It's seriality. It's
seriality again. Okay.
Saying the same thing over again. But please keep in mind that if you read my book, and you have, and our listeners look at meaningful coincidences and really want to dig into what we're talking about, this book, Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen, tries to get away from putting the labels on these experiences, although they help. All these words, serendipity and seriality and synchronicity, help. But mostly they are there to say that all four of these ideas, these categories, S-I-T-Y categories, all of them have only two parts in common. They are each made up of a mental event and an objective event, something that other people can see. Object or event, object or mind. And all of them, some seriality is all objects that anybody could see. Synchronicity is usually a mental event and an objective event. I think of somebody and they call. But synchronicity sometimes is mind-mind, a telepathic event where two people share the same dream. And the funny thing about sharing the same dream, sometimes I hear a story of one person being told by two different people who don't know each other that each person had a dream involving the first person and knew something in the dream that each dreamer would not understand. So two people dreaming about somebody who's a third person is all mental. Nobody knows what the dreams are except the person who had them and have to report them. So there are mind-mind coincidences, mind-object coincidences, and object-object coincidences. And seriality is clearly the object-object sort of coincidence.
So that really kind of explains what the most common meaningful coincidences are.
Yes.
So what are some of the uses that a person could pick up or do with the meaningful coincidences?
Well, we've just talked about one that's maybe the most common is that it makes you feel like you're on the right path.
Yes.
Or, as in your case, in your husband's case, makes you feel connected with someone who is no longer in the physical body. So they confirm for you. It's one of the nice things about meaningful coincidences. They make you feel like you're doing something right, you're connected in a good way, in a way that you want to be. When you're in the flow of things, when things are working well for you, synchronicities are quite common. And they tell you that you're in the flow, and when you see a lot of them, then you know you're in the flow, and then when you're in the flow, then you see a lot more of them. So the two most common uses of them is reassuring you that you're connected, or you're with somebody, or you're in the flow, and you're doing the right thing for yourself at this moment.
That makes a lot of sense. It's kind of giving yourself that awareness that there is a purpose and that you're kind of on the right path in that direction, because you're getting confirmation in ways that you're now paying attention to.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, we are short-lived on our first session here, and we will have to take one of those wonderful little breaks that every audio and video and whatever program is off doing. So we will be back shortly and talk some more with Dr. Beitman about meaningful coincidences.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome, welcome. We are back with Dr. Maitman talking about meaningful coincidences. And, Doctor, you say that coincidences are clues to the mysterious hiding in plain sight. I love that phrase. It gives me chicken skin. Would you share some of your thoughts on that with us?
Yeah, clues to the mysterious hiding in plain sight. It's a little like the purloined letter, a novel in which the letter that was so important that people were looking for was just sitting there on the mantelpiece and nobody saw it. Meaningful coincidences are common. They happen a lot. But we are not taught, trained to pay attention to them. And part of what I'm trying to do in talking with you, Vicki, and talking and writing this book on meaningful coincidences is to alert people to their existence, that they are there. The photograph of your son and husband falling off the shelf is one of those mind-blowing things that blowing your mind means it blows your mind and has to rewire your thinking about the way things operate. And when you start being able to wonder that maybe what we're told about how reality works isn't the way reality works, maybe there is something else going on. I'll tell you, there is something else going on. And these are clues. These are clues to what that something else might be. And some coincidences are really, as we used to say, amazing or far out and groovy, as some people used to say.
Oh, you're dating yourself.
I am dating myself. I learned a lot about meaningful coincidences on Haight Street in the late 60s. Because I was there while I was a resident at Stanford. I could go up to San Francisco and hang around with the hippies and see a lot of meaningful coincidences taking place. I imagined there was a sign that said synchronicity spoken here. Well, synchronicity is not just spoken on Haight Street in the late 60s. It's speaking to us right here, right now. And how to pay attention to them is to read books like mine. There are plenty of other books about synchronicity and serendipity. Mine is probably the most comprehensive because it tries to make categories out of all this stuff rather than just telling a lot of stories, which people do, or making speculations about how they work. And they don't just work in one way. There are many different ways that contribute to how a meaningful coincidence takes place. But the first thing to say is they happen. And the contradiction is that you can have awe and science, and you can also have science and awe. The contradiction is that these meaningful coincidences, which seem so amazing, are pretty common. So how do you deal with something that's pretty amazing but happens regularly? Well, you get used to the fact that they happen regularly. So that's the first point I want to make about the mysterious hiding in plain sight, is there are all these little dots of potential understanding of reality, if you're interested, or how to be able to use meaningful coincidences in your own personal life. That's also the mysterious, that you have help, but you're not noticing it until you start looking around. And when you start looking around, when you become open to being connected with your mind to your environment, when you see and also think, when you watch your mind and you watch what's going on around you, you begin to see coincidences that you might not have otherwise known. And they can be not just tell you on the right path. Sometimes they're just a lot of fun. Sometimes they're just funny. I imagine sometimes being a stand-up comic telling coincidence stories.
I'd come to that show. So I have a question about how our thoughts can lead us into a coincidence that we become so aware of, because it's like, wait a minute, I was just thinking about that, and then it happens. And the one of the aha moments for me in listening to one of the stories in your book was the other day I just needed a break. So I grabbed my camera, got in the car. It's like the wildfires are drying out. Let me just make a quick run up the hill and see if I can catch any. And I went to a lake nearby us, and it's a place where the eagles come in the wintertime. And it's kind of past, they're usually gone back north by now, but I stopped to pay my little county park thing, and I asked the ranger, I said, are the eagles still here? And she said, well, there's a pair nesting here now, so you got a good shot at seeing them. I didn't go around the corner from the toll booth 30 feet when I heard one. And it's like, oh, thank you. I hadn't gone to see the eagles. I had gone to shoot wildflowers. So I'm playing with my camera, and there's a, you know, patch here and a patch there, and the next thing I know, there's this big swoop of energy that comes up from behind a tree, and as I look up, there's an eagle flying off and its mate, and it's like, no, those have got to be hawks, and then, no, that's vultures over there. So I'm shooting with my little 12-megapixel camera. Mm-hmm. And but when I zoomed it in later in the day, you could just barely catch that that one had a white tail. And it's like, bless their hearts, the eagles came out to remind me that, you know, they're still around. I have a whole year's worth of the eagles calling me stories that I could tell you, but I haven't for a long time been connected to the eagles. So that was a really important piece for me coming back to me after COVID and all the world changes that have happening. A lot of us have kind of lost our direction. And I'm one of the first to admit that, you know, I kind of spend a whole lot of time in the big comfy chair doing nothing with all of these feelings of what I needed to be doing. So, you know, bless the eagles for reminding me I still got it.
yeah, and what I'm getting now, and this is what other people can look for, is that you have two, at least, symbols that follow you, or you follow them, 444 and eagles. And it's important to recognize that each of us have different ways of experiencing meaningful coincidences. We're different people, and we have different ways of experiencing them. But the point that I'd like to make from your eagle story, looking for the wildflowers, is that you had some kind of feeling, an urge, to go up that hill.
Yes.
And you wouldn't have otherwise done it, but you listened to that urge. You listened to that feel. That feel comes in many different, several different forms. One is a gut feeling. Another is from your heart. Another is a still small voice in your mind. And sometimes they combine, but they combine in kind of an urge. I think I'll go this way instead of the way I thought I was going to go. And when you follow those urges, you more likely than not are going to run across some surprising event. It's as if somehow your body, your higher self, or the angels in the psychosphere, or your son, or someone is saying, Vicky, go this way instead of that way. And you learn to be able to trust those urges. You learn to know which ones you should follow. And as you learn those urges, they're part of your intuitive capacities, you then find more mysteries in your life. You find more meaningful coincidences happening.
Oh, that's awesome. It's I love being able to talk through the science into the mystery so that one doesn't exclude the other. And with that, we will be back in a short 2 minutes with more on meaningful coincidences with our guest, Dr. Biteman. Please tune in. Stay put.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Vicki Dobbs here with Dr. Biteman talking about meaningful coincidences. And we were just discussing in the break about structure, grounding, emerging creativity. And I use a lot of creativity in my work, and those of you that have read my books know that at the end of every chapter, there's something creative I give you an option to try. And so is that something that you can fit in with meaningful coincidences and how that might tie in with emerging creativity, Doctor?
It depends on what you mean, what you think emergency means, but let me tell you what emergence means, which I think is where creativity comes from. That in order to be creative, and that is includes the creativity of experiencing meaningful coincidences, we have to move someplace between structure and chaos. If we have too much structure in our life, we're not going to let new ideas come in. And if you want to have more synchronicities, for example, get lost. And that'll lose some structure. Vacations will lose some structure. But also major life stressors will lose structure. But you can also create situations where you set up the easel for your painting, for example, and then you let your mind go and just watch what your mind and hand do together on the painting, on the canvas, and see where it goes, because you can let information flow through you once you have a structure that allows it to be contained. So you feel something, you think something, you draw it, you paint it, you color it, then you come back and look at it, and then you make some changes that are more rational. So between rationality and intuition, between the structure of rationality and the openness of intuition, creativity can emerge.
Oh, I love that. That's, you know, more chicken skin. Between rationality and intuition, creativity.
Yes. We are learning as human beings to use both rationality and intuition. In the latter part of my book, Meaningful Coincidence, I talk about polarities, that we on this earth live in polarities, just yin and yang is the way the Chinese called it, but zero and one are what our digitalized world runs on now, bytes, zeros and ones in different numbers. Positive and negative charges in electrons and protons, day and night, this all polarities, male and female, that we are dealing with. And there's a continuum often between the two opposites of, let's say, male and female. Men need to be embracing more of their feminine. Women are embracing more of their masculine, so that we reach some kind of balance between those two polarities in us, while also being either one, masculine or feminine. And the same is true of intuition and rationality. Science has been very creative in coming up with a lot of stuff, like the technologies that we have and the discoveries we have in medicine. But medicine, which I'm a physician, I'm a psychiatrist, has gotten too data-based, which is too rational. Physicians are not being taught to use their intuition the way old-time physicians had to, because they didn't have a lot of information. And what we're trying to do now as human beings is find a good balance between our own intuitive capacities, which is knowing things without knowing how we know them, like how you got to the wildflowers and the eagles. You don't know how you did it. You followed an urge, and there you went, but you weren't planning it. It wasn't rational. And then when you got there, you could appreciate what happened to you. So that was a balance between intuition and rationality, because once you got there, you could appreciate what you had discovered. It was kind of a creative act to go up that hill and be able to see the wildflowers and then to see the eagles.
That makes a lot of sense, and bringing science and intuition together, what a great goal. I mean, if you know, so many people, they have this sense about what their body needs or what their mind needs, and yet science doesn't often support that. It tends to tell us what we do or don't need, but, you know, the coincidences in that, are they mind-driven? Are they object-driven? Are they, who knows?
Well, let's talk about how they happen, because we need to get to that.
Yeah.
There are three basic explanations for meaningful coincidences. None of them is right. They're all partially true, and they vary in how much they're true with each different coincidence. You're going up the hill talks about agency. Your personal agency. You decided to go up that hill. Now, you could have gone up that hill and nothing happened, not even wildflowers, but you had a feeling. So you had you made a decision based on a feeling. Some people, the statisticians, would say that's going to happen lots of times. They're all statistics say that coincidences will take place with human beings all the time. Just because we cross each other and cross with other people and go different places, that our lives cross with other events regularly. So that means coincidences happen all the time. So there's nothing special about it happening to you, except what you put into it. I don't agree with that. I think there's something else going on, and that's the mystery part of it. Some people call it that God or higher consciousness or the universe. So there's mystery, there's personal agency, and there's statistics, because there had to be some probability that there were going to be wildflowers up there and that there could be eagles up there. If you were in Nome, Alaska, you would probably not be likely to see some eagles in the winter or wildflowers. So it depends on the circumstances, too. So there are statistical contributions, there are personal agency contributions, and there's the mystery, which I continue to try to understand. And the mystery that I'm trying to have people pay attention to in the last part of my book is our mental atmosphere. And our mental atmosphere is like our physical atmosphere. Our physical atmosphere, we breathe out carbon dioxide and breathe in oxygen. Well, the mental atmosphere, we breathe out ideas and we breathe in ideas. We exchange ideas with and emotions with the psychosphere. And through the psychosphere, telepathic communications can take place, communications with disembodied spirits can take place, like loved ones, and simultaneous independent discoveries can happen, meaning that people discover the same thing around the same time without ever having talked with each other. That's true of calculus, and it's true of the telephone. It's true of hundreds of things that have been discovered by independent researchers feeding off of the ideas of the psychosphere.
I'd love to talk a little more about that when we come back. The clock is saying we need to take another quick 10-minute break, so hang in there, folks. We'll be back with Dr. Biteman and Meaningful Coincidence and maybe a little bit more about the psychosphere. Give us 2 minutes.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
And we are back with Dr. Biteman and Meaningful Coincidences. Take it away, Doctor. Let's continue
okay,
talking
Vicki,
about
thank
it.
You. And take it away, ladies and gentlemen. Here I go.
Here he is on stage for his Meaningful Coincidence routine.
All right. This is, I'm the founder and president of the Coincidence Project. And the purpose of the Coincidence Project is to help people notice that coincidences illuminate the invisible currents that connect and unite us. The invisible currents that connect and unite us. And if you're someone interested in talking about your coincidences with other people and hearing other people's coincidences from them, go to my website, which is coincider.com, coincider.com, or just go to The Coincidence Project, all one word, thecoincidenceproject.net, N-E-T, thecoincidenceproject.net, or just go to my website and email me, and I'll get you on the list. I'm Bernard Beitman, and you can find a lot of stuff from me on the Internet. I have a YouTube channel as well as a Psychology Today blog and a website. And we'll get you together with people who meet once a month on the third Saturday of each month, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, to talk about coincidence stories. And we've got about 35 people coming pretty regularly now, and we expect to have more, because more and more people need to find places to tell their coincidence stories. That is a major objective of the Coincidence Project, is to encourage you to tell each other coincidence stories. And some of you who may be listening to this may feel weird about telling people your stories because they think you're crazy. Well, just remember, I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm supposed to know the difference between crazy and normal. And coincidences are really a normal part of life. And you will find other people who will experience that with you and help you believe and know that you can follow your own meaningful coincidences and keep trying to understand what they're trying to tell you and how they're trying to help you.
And they can find it at coincider.com, right?
Right.
Is there an S on Coincider?
I keep forgetting. I think my email is coincider.com.
Let me look real fast here.
It's too bad that I keep forgetting this. That's why I say my website is Coincider. Coincider.com. No S.
Right. No S. Yep.
No S. Coincider.com.
And if you're
hunting for
Dr. Beitman,
my email is Coincider.com. So Coincider.com, email me, we'll get you to the Coincidence Cafe, and I'll send you a registration at www.coincider.com. And
perfect.
We want to hear from you. We want you to tell your stories, because I'm not the only one, and plenty of other people want to tell their stories, so please join us.
And I want to share that Dr. Beitman's last name is spelled B as in boy, E-I-T as in Tom, M-A-N, Beitman.
Thank
you.
So
that you don't have any trouble finding him. Facebook, he has a profile there as well as his website. So a lot of my listeners, and you're talking about that's the Coincidence Cafe, so... When you were talking about the psychosphere and the mental atmosphere, that's the part where you're talking about we are all connected.
Yes. We kind of know we're all connected, and there's plenty of evidence that suggests that we are, but we don't know how we're connected. And what meaningful coincidences do is show us how we are connected with each other. They show the lines of connection, as with you with your eagles, Vicki. There's something about you and what eagles mean. Eagles have a lot of meaning symbolically, and have been around for a long time. Other people have different symbols that are associated with them. And what the eagles, the main emphasis for me with you and your eagles is that you are connected with the wild creatures of this world. You are connected with nature. The psychosphere is the atmosphere, the means through which we are connected with not only each other, but with the natural world. I have had for quite a long time connection with trees. There's certain trees, three of them in the forest, that don't mind that I talk about them. I saw them on Saturday, and we had a good time together. I figured out how they smile. How can you imagine three trees smiling? Well, they showed me how, and I smiled back at them, because they like me to sing certain songs to them, and they smile when I sing those songs to them. How do I know that? Well, you have to experience it yourself. I've had this relationship with them for more than 10 years, and we have a relationship. And you can have relationships with all kinds of creatures out there in addition to human beings. But the most important thing right now is to recognize that we are all one thing here, this human species that we are, and that we are slowly committing suicide by heating up our planet. And we are doing this to ourselves. There's an old story of a frog in a pot, and the pot is being slowly warmed, and the frog doesn't notice. And finally, the pot gets so hot that the frog is boiled. When if you turn the heat up real fast, the frog would jump out. Now, whether that's true or not, we are slowly turning on the heat to ourselves. And we can't do that anymore without losing not only lots of creatures, not only lots of plants and insects are going really fast. Other animal species are going really fast because we're warming up the planet too much, and it's us that is doing it. And we need to form a collective human organism through the psychosphere to see how connected we are so that we can join together to find solutions to what we are doing. Now, I can say this to older people, and they can nod their heads and say, that sounds right. But I am talking with younger people, people in their 20s, and they know it's not enough that I'm right. They know something has to be done. And they are frustrated with older people who are just saying things are okay or, you know, it's a good idea. We've got to do something about global warming, and we as a collective human organism discovered through our meaningful coincidences with each other can help make something more positive happen than what we are doing right now.
What a great way to wrap up the show, Dr. Mightman, and I am so grateful for you sharing your wisdom and knowledge. And please go out and get his book, Meaningful Coincidence. There's not just a lot of science in it. There's a whole lot more that touches on the magic and mystery of us, of our world, and of all the seen and the unseen things around us. And please check out Dr. Bightman's website at Coincider. I got to get that right. Coincider.com. Coincider.com. And remember to check out my website at VickiDobbs.com or find me on social media at Vicki L. Dobbs, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's always a free gift available when you sign up for my weekly Friday Food for Thoughts or other occasional bits of wits and wisdom I sometimes toss out there. Keep an eye on the horizon for my next book, Burnout to Bliss, The Art of Choosing You First. It's in the works. I just don't know when it'll actually get born. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you that it's time for you to give yourself permission to be first in your world, to listen to your world, to put you and your world on your calendar and choose them first. We all have a right to be happy. Hashtag You Matter. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails till we meet again. And I will chat with you all next month. Happy trails!